Welcome to Walking with God, Pat Barry and Jeff Quinto's podcast, where Pat and Jeff talk about their walk with Christ.
My name is Pat Barry.
And my name is Jeff Quinto. And Pat and I get together on a regular basis to talk about the most important thing in our lives, our Christian walk.
Today, we're actually going to be discussing a question. Now, the question is, what are you drinking? God gives us free will to drink, if you will, whatever we choose, but we need to be careful about what we take in. So, Jeff, you like a variety of beverages, don't you?
I do. I like coffee. I drink coffee every day. I love Pellegrino water. I drink Pellegrino every day. I've got to admit that I like beer and wine and lemonade and lots of different drinks.
I would check each one of those categories. But if you're really thirsty, if you've been out working, you're really thirsty, chances are you're not going to come in and pour yourself a glass of whiskey or even coffee. You're going to go for water. Same thing if you're out shoveling snow, you might come in and have a nice hot cup of coffee or something to get you going in the morning, right? Well, just like that, there's other things that we take in. It's a variety of information that shapes us daily. And what we're talking about today is actually not literally water, but living water in a different way. And we have a passage that kind of goes along with this.
Yeah, it is John 4:7-15. It's the story of the woman at the well. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water."
Good stuff, living water. Living water through Jesus Christ. There's a ton of things in this. We have the woman coming to the well alone, Jesus offering living water. You've actually been to that well, haven't you?
I have. The interesting thing about Jacob's well, and wells in general in the ancient world, is that a well stays in the same place. In other words, it doesn't move to the left or the right or a mile over here, a mile over there. It's a well, and it sits there. And I've been to Jacob's well, which is in what we call today Nablus. And it is inside a Greek Orthodox church. And you go down from the street, you walk down what amounts to probably a couple of stories, and there's the church, and then you go down yet another story to the grotto, which is where this well is. And when we first went there to Jacob's well, we were all alone in the church. That is, our little group was all alone in the church. There were, I don't know, 20 of us alone in the church. We went down to this tiny grotto. We filled up the little grotto, the 20 of us. And the guide said to me, he says, "Jeff, would you like to pull up the water?" And there was, of course, a bucket that was sent down into the well. And I did the crank and pulled it up. And as it was coming up, I was thinking, well, should I drink this water? Is it safe? What is it going to be clean? And then I thought, well, you know what? I came all this way. I don't think God would fool me by giving me water that would somehow poison me. And I thought I'll do it. And so we have a nice picture of my wife and I the first time we were there taking a drink of this water from Jacob's well. And it came out and it was clear and it was cold and it was delicious. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And we've gone back there several times because it's so meaningful. So that is what happened here. You're right. The woman at the well, she was there in the middle of the day because she was an outcast from her society. And Jesus offers her this living water. But you know, living water, the water part of it is maybe a little hard for us. This is a Bethel series concept, but the Bible was first heard by a specific historical people who had a unique culture, location, and way of understanding the world around them. And so when they talked about water in the ancient world, they had a different idea of it. Because here where we live, where you and I live, Pat, we got water everywhere.
Sure.
When I lived in Lake Geneva, I lived across the street from what they said was 5.3 billion gallons of water,
fresh water.
So we're never worried about water, right?
Right.
But in the ancient world, in a dry climate, you would have had to constantly be thinking about, where am I going to get water now? You could only go places that would allow you to find water. You couldn't go somewhere there wasn't going to be water. You'd have to go from one place to another knowing that there was going to be water available to you. So we have this importance of water, and Jesus uses this as a metaphor that was meaningful for them. It actually ends up being meaningful for us today. And you were the one that was talking about that, how this water that Jesus talks about, this living water, it really, what are we drinking? That's the point of this podcast, right?
Right.
What are we drinking? So let's talk, why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, because unlike the ancient world where it's literal water in the story, but he's talking about a metaphor, living water for himself, it's the same thing now. So there's water everywhere, but we're in kind of an ocean, if you will, with things like social media and the news media, negative influences coming in from different areas. Just the political nature of the way we're going in this country right now. There's the entertainment that we have to deal with, and just the internet in general. So again, it goes back to God is giving us free will. We can drink in whatever we want to drink in. And not all of this stuff is necessarily bad in and of itself. For instance, you know, social media. There's a lot of good things. You can use it for business with LinkedIn. You can use it for keeping in touch with old friends on Facebook or Instagram. But it can be and become a bad thing, especially if you start comparing your life to somebody who's maybe on social media who, in case you don't know this, they're probably not living the life that they're actually portraying, because nobody does. But aside from that, there's also things of negative comments. If you want to get people's attention, unfortunately, this is one of those things. It's sort of like in politics. Why do you keep seeing negative commercials? Because they work. You put negative comments on social media, you're going to get people that are just buying into it, and it's the ball starts rolling, and it goes downhill, and it consumes everything that's in its wake. And if you're the person that started it, you kind of get a hit of dopamine every time somebody responds to this. That's why they, you know, the people that put this stuff together knew what they were doing. In fact, a lot of the people that have created this stuff don't let their own families use it, which should tell you a lot about how bad this stuff actually can be. But in view of that, with negative comments, it can lead to bad things. So if you're drinking that in, you are going to probably end up depressed, anxious, being a negative person. The same thing can happen if you're watching too much news. I can attest to this. I used to be a news junkie. I had the stations on almost all the time, and you know what? It got to be kind of depressing because you're watching news all the time. Not that you should be uninformed, but when it's too much, it overtakes you, and you start to talk about it all the time, and your attitude just becomes negative because, quite honestly, you're just reflecting what you're seeing. Then there's the negative influences of friends, or even, you know, like the voices in your head, so to speak, and everybody's got those little voices saying that you're not good enough, that other people are better, you could never do it, whatever it is. Everybody has those. And then there's the stuff that we should be drinking in more than we're drinking in that other stuff. The living water that Jesus talks about, his words, his scripture. And when you start to go to that, that is when you really start to live. You know, people look to fill spots in their souls, in their hearts with whatever. With some people it's work, with some people it's things like social media or news. But no matter how much you consume of this stuff, no matter how much of it you drink in, you're going to be thirsty. You're going to be continuously thirsty, but not, and in a bad way, in a negative way. You drink in the word of Jesus Christ, the word of scripture, and while you're thirsty, it's thirsty in a good way, because when you go back to it, you are being satisfied. You're being satisfied, and it's on a deeper level.
Yeah, it's the truth, isn't it? And throughout the Bible, we have these references to living water, to water in one sort or other. And in Isaiah 55, we read, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." You see, what God offers, you can't buy. There's no price to it. It doesn't have a price. It's, in fact, priceless. So we're meant to drink of this wonderful life that God has planned for us, this life that he has that we live in abundance, but we get sidetracked. And as Pat was talking about, like the social media, you know, it, in many ways, it can be such a nice thing. The first person who friended me when I first went on Facebook was the girl I took to the junior prom in the year one. And you know what the good news was for me? I looked at her picture. She's quite attractive. And I thought, you know, this is the girl I took to the prom. I was so proud of myself. And you know, I hadn't talked to her in 30 years at the time or something like that. And so this connection like that is a healthy and good thing.
Yeah, it is.
And when you look at pictures of your relatives and so forth, it's a good thing.
Yes.
But the trouble is, when we start getting into politics and opinions and these different things and putting people down and taking a stand on social media, it just doesn't work in the way that it should, because then people are confronted with that, and then they confront with what they believe, and you end up in this argument, and you end up poisoning the well.
That's a great point. You know, when you're drinking in the different media, social media, news media, things like that, you get into mindset, and the mindset is you start arguing for victory rather than truth, and you're more concerned about winning an argument than you are bringing somebody to Jesus Christ. I've heard it said, and I think it's very true, you know what? As Christians, we may be the only scripture that somebody reads or sees or takes in. We might be the only Bible that they ever experienced. So when we're out and we're engaging with people, even though I understand you get that dopamine hit, and sometimes it feels good, especially when somebody's on the opposite side of you, regardless of what side it is, it feels good to make your point and be right, doesn't it? It does.
Yeah, it does, but it doesn't hit us anywhere.
No.
You know, you and I have been reading a great book called Love Them Anyway by Choco de Jesus, and one of the things he says is that when he confronts people who are different than him or are doing things that he doesn't approve of, he listens. He approaches them with his
yes.
ears, not with his mouth. And I thought that was so interesting, because here this guy is confronting all kinds of things that you would be against as a Christian. And how does he embrace these people? Well, he starts off with this premise, love them anyway. So he comes to them in love, which is what Jesus says to do. He doesn't come to them to talk them out of whatever they're doing wrong. He comes to them in love and he listens. And that makes him different. And that makes him a lovely person. It gives him a winsome way that he has when he's dealing with these people. And even though he doesn't approve of what they are doing, perhaps, based on what they're doing, he loves them. So he sets aside the sinner part of it and loves them as who they are. But one of the things we have when we say, well, love the sinner, hate the sin, is that what we really do, we're concentrating on the sin. It isn't our job to make judgment. You know, Matthew 7:1 says, judge not lest ye be judged. It's not our job to be the judge. It's our job to teach what I've commanded you. It's our job to talk about Jesus and what it means. But we get so hung up in the weeds, as it were, by finding, as it's so accurately said, we find the speck in someone else's eye when we're overlooking the log in ours. So we act like we know everything and we're so perfect, and we aren't. And so if you approach people who you disagree with, who you disagree with their lifestyle, if you approach them with just your ears instead of your mouth, and with a loving way, trying to help them in every way that you possibly can, let Jesus be the one that gives them the cure for what ails them. We're not the cure givers. That isn't what we do. We're just meant to be, we're meant to care for them, and that would be enough.
Right. And we've talked about this before, that everyone has sinned. No one, there's no righteous ones. But once you come to Jesus Christ, you are a new person. And it's where you find your identity. And I know we've mentioned this before. Maybe you find your identity in work. Maybe you find your identity in your sports team. Maybe you find your identity in your sexual preference. But if you are, If you are a Christian, you have been made new, and your identity is that of a beloved child of the Most High God, and your identity is now in Jesus Christ. And that's all there is to it. And it doesn't matter how broken anybody is, because you know what? You can't clean up your act on your own. You have to come to Him as you are and say, just tell Him, Jesus, here I am, clean me up. Do with me what you will. You know, the direction we've been going for really the last several years, especially as a country, but really all over the world, I think a lot of people, regardless of political affiliation, regardless of beliefs, take a look around and just say, what is wrong? And, you know, we keep putting our faith in human beings, in one side of the aisle or the other, and both sides are shocked when things don't get better. Well, you know what? We live in a broken world with broken people. It doesn't matter whether they have good intentions or not. They're broken people, and they're not going to make perfect decisions. And as long as we keep putting our faith in those sorts of institutions that are broken, things aren't going to get better. In order for things to get better, people need to turn back to the living water of Jesus Christ. And I know it's not always an easy, quote unquote, sell, but it really is the way it is. And, you know, you might tell somebody that, they might call you crazy, but God works in different ways with different people for different reasons. All we're doing is planting seeds, and the seeds you planted today, you may never even know that they came to fruition. Maybe they come to fruition 10 years down the line, but as long as we keep talking about it in love, with patience, those seeds will come to fruition at some point.
They will. And the living water comes. And the living water that saves, the living water that doesn't need to be replenished, that leads to eternal life, is available to every one of us, you and I. You know, Pat and I started this podcast on a premise that we both agreed with wholeheartedly. And that is that it's a quote from C.S. Lewis, that is, that Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. You know, most of us live lives as Christians, those of us that are Christians, we're sort of spectator Christians, we're moderate Christians, and that isn't what we're called to do. We are called to be bold in our proclamation. We're called to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, because if Christianity isn't true, it doesn't make any difference, and there's no sense wasting any time with it, but if it is true, it's of infinite importance, it's of eternal importance, and if it is that, it deserves every effort that we can do to bring it forward, to bring it to people. It's the most important thing in our lives. Join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for giving us this living water that will never run dry, that will lead to eternal life. Lord, may we be a beacon to you. May we be a beacon to you as what people see us and they think, I want what they have. They have this peace, this shalom, this calmness of spirit. I'd like to have that. And may we go out, Lord, may we go out calmly and confidently as your eyes and your ears and your mouth in the world. And may we bring people to you. May we bring people to this beautiful place where we will spend eternity with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.